Hello and welcome to Behind the Sounds. Today, my guest is Sydney Kiesang, who, after having worldwide success with her family band Echo Smith, has just released her first solo project, aptly named Phases. Going solo after a rollercoaster band career can be scary, but we spoke about why now was the right time, how supportive her brothers have been, and how these six songs ended up on her first EP. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy! Sydney, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining. I know you have had a super busy, probably about 6 weeks now, right? Since the EP has launched. Have you slowed down yet?
Oh my gosh. I think actually this week, I'm starting to slow down a little bit, which is nice. And of course, there's always still a million things to do when you put out music and you're working towards putting out more music. There's always an endless to-do list, but I feel like it's nice to do some of that from home sometimes because I travel a lot, obviously, for my job, but it's really nice to even just make myself tea in the morning or do little things that you can't do when you're at a hotel. So it's nice to have this baseline of being home right now, just for a few weeks.
Absolutely. And I know you're, of course, no stranger to doing the whole music release thing. But of course, this is a little bit different this time because you're kind of doing it on your own. Have you had a chance to, obviously, as you say, you've slowed down this week, but have you had a chance to kind of sit and reflect on the fact that, oh, hang on, this is a really big thing I've just done because you've done it so many times before?
Honestly, I think I need to do that because it's really easy to just go with emotions and have a lot of fun with it and just, you know, be in the moment, which is great. But I think it's really important to take some time and, yeah, reflect on how far I've come because, you know, even 2 years ago, I probably wouldn't have had the guts to do this on my own. And, you know, obviously Echo Smith is still a big part of my life and my heart, but it took me a long time to get here just to allow myself to make music on my own and put myself out there without, you know, a band behind me. It's totally different being a solo artist, and I had no idea. But I think I've come a long way, even from just releasing my first single last September to putting out the EP now. I feel so much more comfortable in my skin doing this on my own, and I'm having so much fun, and I get to have so many firsts again. And I think that's really special when you've been doing music since you were 9 years old. I'm 28 now. I get to have these first moments again. And I, you know, didn't know if I'd ever have those again. So it's really special to have that. And I think I need to journal some more to really reflect on, you know, where I'm at now and where I came from and everything in between.
I love that. And I think it's so important to recognize because you're right. We actually get so few firsts in life in general, and especially in a career such as music that is such a whirlwind across the board. What's the, like, of course, you were so young when you started. I want to talk a little bit about that, but obviously you had massive success at a really young age. Having, as you say, them first again, does it kind of allow you to look back and go, whoa, those things that I was going through at a young age were mental, like they were so big, and probably at the time maybe didn't even feel that big?
Yeah, I think when you're just thrown into it at a young age, you don't know anything different, you know. Of course, yes, we did play probably at least 100 shows where nobody was there, or hundreds even, of, you know, playing at farmers markets and just anywhere that would allow us to play a show and people are walking by and don't care. So of course we had some of that context, but it's not like we had 10 years of that as an adult trying to pay bills while doing that. You know, I was 16 when we started touring full time. So I didn't have the pressure of, yeah, I have rent to pay and I also want to do my dream. And, you know, it's just so different when you're an adult going for it. And I think it's really special that I got to experience all these things at such a young age. I feel like it gave me obviously such a great head start to where I am now. And we've had lots of ebbs and flows throughout, but I don't think in the moment I realized fully how crazy it was. I mean, there were moments, of course, throughout that you were like, whoa, this is wild that this many people in this different country know my song. But then the rest of the time, you know, you're just running from one thing to the next and having fun, but you're not really soaking in, you know, how special it is every single day. And I think now I get to have that context and look back and really reminisce and also appreciate all the things I've gotten to do so far.
Absolutely. And talking of reminiscing, that my most favorite thing to ask people about is growing up, when did you first discover? Because of course you come from a musical family and that makes sense, but starting so young, was there a pinnacle moment of you going, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my life, music? Was there a moment that sticks out in your mind that it's when you knew what it was what you wanted to do?
You know, I don't know if there was one moment that really told me that this was my path. I think I've had many of those moments over the years. You know, when I was 9 years old and we started the band, I was like, this is what I want to do. And yeah, I played soccer and stuff on the side, and I thought it'd be fun to be a cheerleader. I never was. But, you know, I had other little interests along the way, but music was so obvious to me that that's just what I wanted to do. And then, of course, it ended up working out. But then, you know, I've had to choose to keep doing music over and over. You know, I think COVID was a great example of a lot of us readdressing so many things in our lives and asking ourselves, why am I doing this? Do I want to keep doing this? And what does that look like moving forward? So I've had a lot of those aha moments since I was nine, again and again, of, okay, this is what I want to do. And I think, honestly, writing songs for this solo career really reignited my love for music and my love for songwriting all over again in a way that, again, I didn't know if I'd fall in love with music again like that. So it was really cool to have that sort of first, where I was making music and getting this certain feeling in my stomach, which is just excitement and feeling like something was clicking. So I think that this new path for me has really reiterated in my mind that this is exactly where I want to be and what I want to do. And there's so many more things that I want to do in the future with this and with the band. But I think it's really important to have that mindset of, this is where I want to be. And I'm not just doing it because it's what I've always known.
And I suppose when you are so young, as you say, you don't really know any different. So it just feels like, yes, this is right. And of course, having that time to reevaluate is so precious. And again, probably something that not a lot of people get over a period of time with their music. Did you, having success so young with people around you, and I do want to dive into that a little bit, obviously we'll focus on the solo career, but do you think you would have been able to do that on your own so young?
Yeah, probably not. I think when I was so young and doing all the things that we were doing, I think I needed that family support. You know, I needed all the people around me. And I think I've grown a lot since then, which is great. I mean, you'd hope so, that you'd grow from 16 to 28. But I think that all of this has been very meant to be. And I've needed this background in order to give me the tools that I need to do this on my own now. And also just have the wisdom to say no to certain things that just don't make sense. And before, I would have said yes to every single thing that came across my phone. And now, you know, I'm still, you know, pushing past my limits sometimes when maybe I shouldn't. But I think I've learned a bit from those times on how to make decisions now and be smart with my time and truly do whatever makes this music come to life in the way that I want it to, as opposed to just how maybe other people see it or are telling me that I need to do it. So I think I needed that background to bring me here. But I don't think I could have gone through all that on my own back then.
And of course, as you say, it was kind of a unique situation for you because they weren't just your bandmates, they were your family. So they probably would have been there either way. I have, funnily enough, I've spoken to quite a few people that have grown up in sibling bands. And I would, one of my, I just find it really interesting because particularly when you're young, sibling relationships are tumultuous, to say the least. How over the years have you navigated that? And particularly now, kind of going out and doing this next chapter of your life and your career, how have your relationships changed in terms of the music with your family?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up very close. I mean, of course, we would fight like any other sibling would, but we did grow up very close-knit, and our parents really encouraged us to just be each other's best friends, which I think was necessary for everything that we were going to do. We needed to be friends with each other. And we still had our moments where it was hard, and you know, everyone's tired and you're stressed and you know, having a hard time. But I think as we've gotten older, it's been really sweet to see how close we've stayed. And as I've taken this step doing my own music, it's been so cool to have my brothers in the crowd watching me. You know, they're still there. And that just means the world to me because I think, you know, Guilty, which is the song on the EP, really captures that feeling of, oh my gosh, am I allowed to be here? Am I allowed to do this? I wonder what everyone's gonna think. And is this okay that I do this for myself? Because I was really worried what my brothers would think, and I didn't want them to feel left out or replaced or anything like that. And it just was so cool to see that I was totally wrong, that they were so there for me, and they still are. And it's just sweet. At my EP release show, my brothers were in the crowd, and I even brought one of them up for one song. And I think that's really special. So I'm really grateful that we have such a close relationship now, especially as we all explore what life looks like as we go older.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? We all go through these different phases of life. And I think when you've been in a band in particular, and starting out, as you say, like at that young age, you kind of maybe don't get that opportunity that you would at perhaps 18, where a lot of people are going, right, what am I doing now? This is the next step. You've obviously had that a bit later. Diving into this solo era, I want to say, I keep wanting to like throw in the EP name, but I'm gonna pun too many times, so I'm gonna rein it in.
It's meant to
But what I know you kind of ventured to Tennessee to write this and to kind of as well, I'm gonna use it now, go into this new phase of your life. Was it what came first? Was it the moving to Tennessee to go, right, okay, I think I'm gonna try this new place and this writing, or was it I'm going to write a solo record, I'm going to write a solo EP. Where do I want to do it? Was what kind of came first?
Well, I started writing for my solo music here in LA, where I'm from. And the more that I was writing and just listening to music that I loved, all types of music, whether it was George Harrison, Casey Musgraves, or Hawaiian music, I just really fell in love with this certain side of country. And I happened to actually sign with a management company that had a lot of roots in Nashville. So, you know, they kind of threw it out there. Hey, have you done writing trips in Nashville? And weirdly, I hadn't. I've only written in LA at that point. So I started going out there just to write songs and see what happened. And it was, you know, really with my solo music in mind. But I just started to get to know people out there, and I found people that I really loved and connected with and wrote songs that I was so excited about. And a lot of those end up being on the EP, and some of the songs I wrote in LA are on the EP as well. So it's really cool that it was this blend of, okay, let's see what happens out in Nashville. And I'm gonna write songs at home with collaborators I love, including one of my brothers, and just make music that I'm excited about. And then I found a really great producer out in Franklin, Tennessee, Oscar Charles, and we ended up cutting a bunch of songs together and had honestly some of the most fun I've ever had making music. And we ended up with this music, the EP, and so much more to come. So it was sort of both, I guess, if that makes sense, because I started with writing and then we ended up finishing a lot of songs out there. And I still go out there once a month. And I actually have always lived in LA. I just go there once a month and I have a lot of really close friends out there that I stay with. So it ends up being a really sweet time with friends and, you know, great creative time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you obviously talk about influences. I find genre, particularly in 2025, it's such a fluid term. I think there are so many, as you like, ebbs and flows, and people are in and out of genres. Of course, kind of having a band and a kind of identity, I suppose. Was there an intent with the solo career to go the complete opposite of that? Did you have an intention of what, and I'm going to use quotation marks here, but what genre you wanted your solo music to be in? Or did you kind of just see what came out?
We kind of just felt it out when we were recording. Of course, before you go in, you want to have some references of what you love and what you would like the music even to just feel like, regardless of genre. So we really just went in there and found really great players to play on everything. And then we got to finish things out. But I still played a couple keyboard lines like I do with the band. And there are still some things that were similarities of, you know, I love stacking vocals and doing really fun harmonies and interesting background parts, which is also something that I've always loved. So it was cool to bring some of the things that I love from the band into my music now, but also totally being experimental and doing something really different. And then it ended up feeling really different. And I think that's just what happens. You get certain people in the room and you create your own thing. I think that's why bands are so special and why, you know, certain collaborators are so special, because when you're in the room with different people, even if you change one person out, it changes the whole energy in the room. So it ended up just turning out, I mean, even better than I expected, which was obviously a nice surprise. And now listening to it along with my Pinterest boards and my references and my inspirations and how it's come to life visually, I call it coastal country now. But it's not like I had this phrase or these words before I went in necessarily. We knew it'd probably be under the Americana umbrella, which, you know, country and all sorts of things fit into. But it was cool to just see how it took shape in the moment and not be too precious about it being this exact genre and it has to work in these worlds. We just made music that we loved, and I'm really happy with the genre that it gets to live in now, because it has a little folky elements and singer-songwriter and still a little bit of this indie feel in it, but it still has these tastes of country that I really gravitate towards.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It really can go into all genres, and I think perhaps 10 years ago people were quite strict about where things needed to fall, but it's not really like that anymore. And I think particularly with, as you say, this kind of Americana umbrella, it really is a bit of a free-for-all in a sense of what we can fit into this beautiful genre, I would say. I have a bit of a two-parter question, because I know you mentioned you wrote a bunch for this EP, and I know you've got new music coming up. Can you talk me through how you narrowed down the songs you selected on the EP? But with that, why you chose the beautiful name of the EP and why it all fit so perfectly?
It was very hard to narrow down because I have a lot of songs already done and a lot of songs in progress, pretty much almost done. So when it came to choosing the EP, you're sort of limited to 6 songs if you want it to truly register as an EP. So that was kind of hard because I really wanted to maybe do 7. But I knew for sure that I wanted, for example, Afterglow to finish an EP, because it is literally about when something beautiful and maybe even heart-wrenching ends, and the reflection of that and how it makes you feel when you move on. And I think that's a great way to end any sort of project. So there were certain things that I knew, okay, I for sure want this to end the EP, and I wanted Phases to be on there because it really just captures this whole idea of we're all in so many different phases in our lives constantly, maybe even at the same time, but it's really cool to capture a few of the different phases I've been in so far, because I think I've lived a lot of different lives already in my short 28 years. And it's kind of, you know, fun for me to dive into each of those phases, whether it's falling in love in my marriage or self-discovery and feeling really lost in the middle of that, or even just stepping out on my own for the first time and finding independence through my music. So that was why I wanted to call it Phases, because it captured just the whole concept of my music very well. And, you know, it could apply to any EP I ever do, really. You know, you're always writing songs about all sorts of things. And, you know, I like to write about every phase or facet of my life. So it kind of can work anyways, but it was very hard to narrow down. But I did have some outside input to help, including my husband, of course. He's my favorite sounding board to just help me narrow things down. And I, you know, I'm showing him constantly, like, do you like this single art or this one? Which one's better? I cannot tell. And he's the one who helps me make some final decisions very often, because he has a great eye and a really great opinion. So I had a lot of help making this decision, but at the end of the day, it was cool because I got to really just decide what I wanted to do at the end of the day, which was really special. And that's not always how it works.
Yeah. And did you feel, as you say, like you had a bit of a sense of autonomy doing this on your own? Did it feel, because I'm sure in any band, whether it's family or not, there are always kind of perhaps differences of opinion, and not necessarily disagreements, but maybe someone likes one song better than another. Was it almost harder in a sense that you had to make the decision yourself?
I think in a way, yeah, because with a band, you're usually voting on everything. So you have the automatic other opinions. So having to decide stuff on my own was a hard thing for me to learn. And I did realize pretty quickly, okay, I need to get better at this, because otherwise I'm going to torture myself over every single decision. And at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong decision when it comes to something that's creative. It's truly just opinion and what you're passionate about. And I would go back and forth. For example, you get a song mastered. That's the last step of the recording process. And it's something that, you know, you can tell the difference, and it makes a big difference, makes it playable on every device, and it sounds great. And sometimes it makes it louder. It just depends on where the song was before. But it's a funny thing where a lot of people who haven't been through that process, they don't realize that that's one of the steps. And I had to make that decision on my own of, okay, do I like master A or master B more? And I liked both, and I just couldn't tell. And for the first song, Wonder, that came out, that was a great example of me not being great at making decisions. For days, I just listened to both. And I was like, I just can't tell anymore. So at a certain point, you have to let it go and just go with your gut. And if your gut likes both, then get some outside opinions and just be okay with what you end up deciding. And just, and at the end of the day, I don't think about that anymore. I don't think, oh my gosh, I should have chosen Master B. But, you know, here we are, and I don't even think about it. So it's really hard to make these decisions on your own, especially if you're not used to it. But I think I've gotten better in the past year at deciding things and knowing who I want to go to for an outside opinion. Because if you get too many outside opinions, then you're just confused. So you need to be careful who your circle is in life when you're asking for advice on anything, especially things that are a way bigger deal than that. And I think I've gotten some practice with some of these things that are more lower stakes and just fun decisions. But I think that applies to every decision in life.
Yeah, it really does. And as you say, it's no easy feat. It's like naming your first child, right? Picking these songs, it's a big deal. They're going to be with you forever. So you of course have said you've got lots of music perhaps ready to go. What can you tell us? Can you tell us anything about what is to come in the coming months or year?
Yes, no, there's a lot to come. I sort of told myself when I first started this solo journey that I just wanted to do it differently than the past, where, you know, it takes, and sometimes this is out of your control, where it takes time to put out each song and sometimes a lot of time, and that really is out of your control a lot of times. So I told myself that as long as it's in my control and I'm able to, I want to put out music very consistently and not let tons of time pass by between projects. Because I'm writing so much constantly, and I don't want, you know, to just write hundreds of songs that people never hear. So I'm really excited to truly put that into action. It's a lot of work to have a quicker turnaround, but I think it's worth it when it means that songs don't have to just live in my phone. They can come out in the world and have some visuals with them. And hopefully at the end of the day make somebody out there feel less alone with whatever they're going through. So I do have a lot coming, and like I said, I told myself that I would put out music very consistently no matter what. So that means that there's more coming very soon. So I will have some more things coming out this year and a lot more next year. So I'm very excited to share what I've been working on. And I have some things that have been ready for a minute, and I've just, you know, had to be patient with letting the EP breathe. But I have some collaborations I'm working on as well. So it's kind of a fun mix of lots of solo music and some collaborations. So there's a lot to come. If that's helpful.
Amazing. Well, I for one am very excited, and I can't believe the time has flown by. I feel like I could chat to you all day, but I can't let you go without asking you some quick fire questions that I ask every single person that sits over over a screen with me. My first question for you, can you name three songs that you wish you'd have written?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Fix You by Coldplay. Slow Burn by Casey Musgraves, and Three Little Birds, Bob Marley. That is such a random combo, but that's what came to mind.
Well, we love a random combo, and I love it because I have a bit of a tally of how many times people say certain songs, and I love it when we get one that no one said before, so it's great.
I love it.
What about three albums that you could not live without?
Hot Fuzz by The Killers. X and Y, Coldplay. All Things Must Pass, George Harrison.
Nice, love that. And my final question, we use this as a bit of a manifestation moment as well. You might even be able to do some hints or spoiler alerts, but three people that you haven't worked with that are kind of bucket list for you to work with. They could be producers, writers, artists, whomever.
Okay. Bucket list artists that I'd love to work with. Brandon Flowers from The Killers. He's been on my list for a long time. Casey Musgraves. Love her. And honestly, Chris Martin from Coldplay. Those are like some big ones from either childhood and more recent years. So it's a good combo. That would be a pretty cool super group.
It would be. I mean, let's put it out there now. Why not? No, I can definitely envision that. But Sydney, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting. Thank you so much. And hopefully we will perhaps meet in person one day. But best of luck. Congrats on the EP, and best of luck with all that's to come. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.